Hi, I'm delighted today to have Brendan Murphy from The Four of Us with me for a chat. How are you doing, Brendan?
I am great, Mary.
That's great. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
It is a absolute belter here in County Louth, as well as County Roscommon, I'm sure.
That's right, County Roscommon. It's 26 degrees here today.
Woo! That is toasty.
Great. So, Brendan, I've been a fan of the band since the 90s, so I have a few questions for you about your music. What got you into music?
Well, I'm one of those guys that was just always just crazy about music. You know, I mean, I think I saw Jailhouse Rock, Elvis, actually even before that.
Yeah.
I remember my mum and dad had the soundtracks of South Pacific and Oklahoma. And, you know, they had a big record player in a special room for the record player. And they had that and the show band music. And I was sort of intrigued by it. And then, of course, you know, I saw an Elvis film. And then I got my mum to buy me all the Elvis music. And then after that, I was the oldest in the family. So I didn't really have an older brother to sort of hand down music. So I just went, oh, well, I like Elvis. So I probably like rock and roll. So my mum bought me a lot of Jerry Lee Lewis stuff, even though at this point it was like, you know, the end of the 60s, early 70s. So really, I listened to that sort of stuff and then some country stuff as well, because my daddy was a country fan, Roger Miller, Johnny Cash. And then I was just one of those people. I think, you know, generally that you can sort of tell when people, when I was getting married, my father stood up and in his speech he said, you know, Brenton, he trained to be a lawyer, which I did. I studied law at Queen's, but he said, from the second he arrived, all he was interested in was music, and that is definitely true for me. So it's just been sort of a passion that I've had throughout life and still have to this day.
So you would have said that probably, I was going to ask you there about which old records and tapes would have influenced you, but you answered that when you were saying Elvis was your biggest influence then.
I would, you know, Elvis was the first, and then, you know, actually before Elvis, I remember my mum and dad, as well as having all the show band, they had the first album by Planxty, which was just called Planxty. And that album also really gave me a love for, I think, Celtic music and gave me a love for peculiarly Irish stories. And I think it was a mixture of those two things. And then punk happened when I was 15, and I loved The Police and Talking Heads. And really, it's all I wanted to do. I really just wanted to try and figure out how I could make a living not being a lawyer, but being a musician instead.
So did you finish out the lawyer or the law degree, or did you decide at some stage through it, no, I can't do this, I want to go and follow the music?
No, I finished it because I couldn't, you know, my mum and dad had supported me when I was at college.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, I would have felt, you know, and also I think, you know, one of the things that used to annoy me whenever I was reading the NME or Melody Maker was that sometimes journalists would talk down to musicians as if they were maybe not as bright as they were.
I understand, yeah.
And that really rankled with me. I remember thinking, even then, my whole thing was, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a musician. I'm going to be a songwriter. I'm going to be an artist.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, I'm never going to sit across from someone who can talk down to me. And sometimes you just have to, it's, you know, the second they knew that we were all college educated and I had, studied law, it just changed the conversation. They had a different sort of a conversation with you. And also, it also really helped whenever we were doing, like, we got a record deal without a manager. You know, essentially, we negotiated it. We hired a lawyer, all right, but, I mean, we were. So, I mean, it made a big difference. You know, I mean, I've got two kids now, and I would encourage them to finish an education if at all possible, for the same reasons. It just gives you, quite apart from the fact that you also make friends for life, you know.
Oh yeah, and it's definitely, the college experience is a very good experience for any young person also.
I think so, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but just thinking, apart from yourselves being all educated there, the only other band I can think of like that is, going back years ago, was Queen in the UK. They all had college degrees as well. I think one of them did science.
Well, you know what? A lot of the English 70s bands, like Genesis, I think we're all college educated. Having said that, when 1980, I remember being in Newry Town Hall and seeing, we watched U2 play in Newry Town Hall.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the drummer, Larry, and going, Janey Mac, that guy looks younger than me. And I hadn't even gone to college at that point. So I was sort of aware that, and it turned out all right for him and those guys, you know. It sure did.
Well, it's also, I suppose, if you do it straight after school and, God forbid, if things don't work out with the music, you can always go back to your education as well.
Well, there is that. I think for my parents, my parents really appreciated the fact that they thought I had a fallback, even though I wasn't considering a fallback. But you don't in your early 20s.
You don't.
You're not thinking that way.
No.
You know, you're thinking that's sort of a loser mentality. But
I know.
But actually, you know, they were right, really. You know,
yeah.
There was no guarantee that it was going to work.
What do you feel is the best song you've ever released and why?
Poof.
I know the song that most people associate with Mary.
I would argue that Mary is the best song I ever released. Because we've released a lot of songs, but that song, I didn't expect, you dream of a song that you write outliving you. You dream as a songwriter of a song that you write in your 20s being popular when you're in your 50s. And you just hope, that there's a chance that that may have actually happened. And with that song, it actually did. I mean, it was really extraordinary, to be talking to you in 2018. And that song is still known by, like kids. I mean, it's just, some people have a problem with their big song or their big songs. I do not have any problem.
You're right.
I think that's a song, let's put it this way, that is a song. Is it the best song we've ever written? I don't know. But is it the one I'm most grateful for? Absolutely.
Great. And do you follow a formula when you write?
Yes, the formula I follow is sit down on the seat and put your pen in your hand and put a piece of paper in front of you and don't get off the seat for 2 hours. And try and do that as often as you can on a weekly basis. That is my formula. That's how it works. I mean, really... You just have to sit there and be right. I mean, today I sat down for 2 hours and got absolutely nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And that's okay. You just got to be okay with it because, somebody says you've got to be in the room whenever God walks in. And I think that's true. You've just got to be ready to receive the inspiration when it's there. And you can't do that if you're working on... So you have to make the time for it. I mean, John Prine has a great line where he says, you have to respect, honour the songwriter in you. And I think that's absolutely true. You have to, and to do that, you have to make space for the songwriter, but you can't rush it.
You can't force it either.
No, you can't force it. Deadlines are good, don't get me wrong, but the best way to do it for me is to just, on a regular basis, sit down for 2 hours and see what comes out, and literally to do that week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out.
It sounds like a very good process.
It's the only process I know, I've read enough about the process from people who write prose like Stephen King, and that to know that's how it works. That's how it happens. You can get lucky in your 20s, on your teens, and think that every time you sit down that you're going to produce something. But really, if you actually look back, you'll realise that you spent longer on it than you thought you did. I mean, it's for me, it's just, there's nothing that can really strangle a song more than a panic or...
Yeah.
So if you're doing it every day, at least you can turn around and go, well, I put the hours in.
Yeah,
and then,
you put the work in.
Yeah.
And then absolutely. You just be there for when the inspiration strikes.
That's it.
Very good. Now, I have a question personally I want to ask you. On the cover of the Classified Personal album, you are dressed all in red. And I remember there was a rumour at the time that you only ever wore black, but they decided to colour it in red for fun. Is that true?
No, actually, the truth of that is, well, you're right, I only ever wore black.
And, I was right.
And what happened was that the photographer, who was obviously getting tired of the fact that I always wore black, took a photograph of me using an infrared. He put his camera on infrared, and it had the effect of turning everything that was dark into this bright red.
Brilliant.
And as a result, it was a dark suit. I'm not sure if it was very dark blue or whether it was black, but it certainly was not red. So when I look at that, I remember doing shows and people saying, "Why aren't you wearing the red suit?" Well, there's two reasons. The first reason is that I would never wear a red suit, and the second reason is I couldn't fit into that suit. there was only about a 6 month period maybe when I was ever able to fit into that suit. I look at that photograph and I go, "You were in good shape."
You were in good shape now, because I looked this up yesterday now for the interview, and I thought, "God, he was in good shape. What age was he then?"
I was actually older than you would think. I mean, I was 37. So that's not bad going.
It's
for a
not bad going at all. But
no.
That was, I was just thinking about that. I must ask him this, I said, about that red suit, because I wanted to find out.
So it was not a red suit.
No. So we've clarified the red suit anyway.
Yes.
That's good. And finally, Brendan, can you tell us where you will be going on your upcoming tour? I believe you will be in Mohill in August. That's not too far from us here in Roscommon.
No, not too far. Not too far away. No, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. And actually, that show was a lucky accident, really, because I have a very good friend, a great singer and songwriter called Kieran Goss, and he had done the show in Mohill the previous year. And he, we were talking, and he said, we were just talking, John, he said, "You know, there's a show you must do if you get a chance. It's really a special venue, it's a special show, and it's in Mohill."
Yeah,
and so I actually emailed the guy that ran the show and said, "We'd love to do it."
Oh, brilliant!
A good friend of mine has told me that this is an amazing show to do, and the guy got back and said, "We'd love to have you." And really, that's how it happened.
Great. So, where else are you touring in Ireland?
Oh, we're all over the place, man. I mean, we're in Cork this weekend. We're doing two lighthouses in a row. We do Hook Lighthouse. We do two nights in Hook Lighthouse, and we do a night in the Cultural Coast Guard Centre in Tramore, where both are essentially right just on the coast. And the funny thing is that they're both like sort of, you could sail between them in 5 minutes, but if you were in a car, it'll take you an hour to get from one lighthouse to the next. So I mean, we're traveling a lot, and then we're in Germany in October, November, and then we're in the UK. We're supporting, I don't know if you're aware of this band, Fairport Convention, very famous folk band from.
No, I hadn't heard of them now.
Oh well, they're sort of the originators of English folk music.
Great.
And we're supporting them in their UK tour in January and February. So that's like 2 months of touring with that. So. Very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. But it's great to see that people want to come and see you. I mean, you've been around since, I think it was 1989, Mary was released. And it's just brilliant to see you still and, you know, producing excellent music.
Well, the truth is that I am enjoying it more now than I ever did. I mean, I think the thing is, when you're young, you don't realise how lucky you are to have
an
audience. You know, people turn up and you're going, "Of course they've turned up." By the time you get to my age, you're going, "Wow, all these people are interested in seeing us." And you know, it humbles you, and it has the effect of making you make sure that the show that you put on is worth it. Is worth, because I know what it's like now that I have a young kid. I know what it's like to say, you know, we're gonna give the four of us our Friday evening or our Saturday evening.
Yeah.
That's a big ask, I think. When people have, it's not so much when you're 15 or 16 when we started out, but whenever our audience is now older than that. They're in their 40s and 50s. And these people have a lot going on in their lives. So for them to say, you know what, we're gonna go out on Friday and on Saturday, we know we're going to have a great night in the company of the four of us.
Yeah, because it's
for me. No, that's a great honour and a great responsibility. And you've just got to make sure that at the end of the night that they feel that it was time well spent.
Yeah, because at this stage of their lives, they're actually going to see ye specifically. It's not that they're going to some music festival somewhere like some of the younger ones do. It's just that they are going to see the four of us.
Absolutely. That's it. And also, in the old days, you couldn't talk to anybody because they were screaming at you.
Yeah.
So, you were literally bundled into a tour bus after the show.
Yeah.
Whereas now, after the show, we basically go down to the end of the hall and spend a good hour.
Oh, that's lovely.
Chatting to people that are at the show. It's a really great, and just talking to people. And it's a very social, for us, it's very social. For us, it's a real tonic, So, I feel we're not... as far as we're concerned, we're going to keep playing and keep performing for people as long as they're willing to turn up to see us.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Brendan, for taking the time to have a chat with us here at Ross FM today. It was lovely talking to you.
Mary, great questions. I wasn't expecting the red suit one.
That was my own one.
I know. So thanks to Brendan for that. Really enjoyed it and we're really looking forward to heading down to to Mohill, in the coming months, just for that show. Well, it's not too far away now, actually.
That's great then. Well, thanks very much again, Brendan.
Thank you, Mary.
See you then. Bye bye.
Bye now.